Well, I got Alabama winning the West. I mean, I just don't see
Go out on a
anyone
limb
go on
there.
a limb there. Yeah, that's right. But again, I just don't see anybody who right now is that close of a factor with that program, based on what Saban's been able to do in the past. The East, I've got Georgia winning the East. I mean, I think talent-wise, they're a little better team.
You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
It's time for our college football preview podcast. I'm Brant Parsons with Matt Mershell, and we're going to kick it off in the SEC with the Alabama Crimson Tide. The story, as always, heading into the season, just... what, 4 seconds away from the first 15-0 season of all time last year over in Tampa before Clemson took the national championship on that last play, or next to last play if you count the kickoff. But Alabama, again, this is the storyline for the SEC. It has been for the last couple years. It's the storyline to start off heading into the season this year in the SEC is, will they reload like they've always reloaded? The talent is there. The talent has always been there. Will they reload and be in the playoff again, the only team to be in the playoff all three times so far?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, isn't it amazing? You talk about Nick Saban, and, you know, as much as there's a either love him or hate him, you know, type of mentality across the country when it comes to the Alabama program, he does find a way to continue to reload that program year in and year out. You know, they lose tremendous amount of talent to the NFL, but yet they continue to find, you know, top recruits and top players to step up and you know, refill those spots. You look at their offense, you know, Jalen Hurts comes back at quarterback. You know, you look at Bo Scarborough, who returns at running back. You know, they have talented Calvin Ripley comes in at wide receiver. You know, they have a talented group of players that are going to be back for this team. And you look at their schedule, and honestly, you know, they open up against FSU. That's a big challenge for them as well. But, you know, once they get into that conference schedule, there really isn't a team out there that you're thinking could probably knock them off. It looks like Alabama's probably going to go, you know, win the SEC again, definitely win the West, and probably win the conference as a whole until someone actually finally gets up enough and finally finds a way to beat them.
Certainly not in the SEC. There's no team that seems to be on their level. If they play the games they're supposed to play, I mean, like you point out, Jalen Hurts, and as a college football analyst, you'd probably say, he's a very formidable quarterback. He's talented, but he might be the best quarterback in the SEC, and I think that says as much about the SEC as it does about Jalen Hurts. Before we move on to the East, though, in the West, we know some Auburn people, but you know, there's some optimism on the plains for Auburn. There is a new coach at LSU. Those, I think, are the two schools in the West that on their day, maybe they can pull off a stunner of Alabama, but those are certainly the two schools we're watching in the West and the SEC as the teams to watch beside Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Auburn, you know, they bring in a grad transfer quarterback and Jarrett Stidham, who comes over from Baylor. A lot of optimism, you know, with him coming over, taking the offense. And I would say so, because this is an Auburn squad the last couple of years that has really lacked at the quarterback position. You know, I think if they had a competent quarterback, or at least a quarterback that could play at the SEC level, I think Auburn would have won a couple more games than they have. And so to get someone like that, to have a really strong running game like they have with Pettaway coming back, you know, defensively we know they're going to be strong. Listen, Gus Malzahn may not be on the hot seat, but it's starting to feel a little bit that way because he realizes that, listen, we need to continue to win. We need to be a factor in that West. And whether or not it comes down to that Iron Bowl game with Alabama, I mean, they want to make a big statement. And then you mentioned LSU with Ed Orgeron coming in for his first full season after taking over last year, you know, for Les Miles. There's a lot of optimism with LSU. You know, you've got a guy in Darius Geis, running back, who, in fact, I would imagine is probably, in some ways, if you could believe this, better than Leonard Fournette, you know, when you look at his overall abilities. You know, Orgeron brings in a new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. To me, that's their key question mark, is how does this offense perform? They need the quarterback position to really develop, because Danny Etling is not the guy who's, you know, if he played like he did last year, this team is not going to be a factor. But now with Matt Canada's offense and everything you're hearing, this is a team right now that could put up some points, and that's what they need, because they've got the defense. The defensive players are going to be there. Ed Orgeron recruits really well in that regard. But they're going to need the offense to step up and make plays if this team is going to be a factor. Because you look at what happened last year in that Alabama-LSU game. What did you, was it 0-0 in the third quarter? I mean, if they score some points, maybe, you know, that game's different. So they need to start scoring points. They need to find a way to get that offense moving.
And now we'll step down to the SEC East. I say that jokingly, but the SEC East, the last couple years at least, certainly not the high-profile talent. Teams have struggled. Florida has managed to win the SEC East the last 2 years, and I think even Gator fans, even possibly the Gator coaching staff will tell you they won the SEC East despite not being a complete team, despite not being as good a team as they would expect in Gainesville, what they would like in Gainesville. Tennessee has not lived up to its potential the last couple of years, and Georgia on the rise back up, but the last couple seasons, and I hate to always bring this up, but the SEC East has not been on par with the West. And we're not just talking Alabama. We're talking down the line. The SEC East just is uninspiring. There are teams in there that you already know are already out. They don't have a chance in the SEC. But the top of it will be competitive this year. And if Florida's going to do it again, this time they may need to have something happen at quarterback, because they've managed to win the last 2 years despite playing with a third-string quarterback at times. But with Georgia on the way up, a bunch of defensive starters coming back. Tennessee, we know the talent they have. But we're going to start at Florida. We're in Florida, but we're going to look at the Gators because they are the two-time defending champ. But I think they're going to have to find a signal caller that can do it, because the defense is not going to be as strong and can't carry them like it has the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine an East team hasn't won the SEC since, I think it's 2008. It's been a long time. It's been Urban Meyer last.
When was the last? Was the last SEC East team non-Florida that won?
Yeah, an SEC title. I think it's got to be, you know, I think Tennessee maybe a couple of years before that, or no, actually Georgia. I think it might have been Georgia. But you know, let's look at. I mean, Florida, as you mentioned, obviously the quarterback situation is going to be the key here. You know, Jim McElwain has not seemed to have gotten his feet on the ground when it comes to this position. You know, you look at Luke Del Rio, a graduate transfer who came in and played last year. You look at the fact that Austin Appleby played. You know, he's really kind of, and it looks like now it's going to be Malik Zier is probably going to be the starter. The transfer from Notre Dame is going to take over. I mean, they just have struggled to really develop that position. And I think, you know, listen, Zaire's interesting. Zaire brings a little bit of experience to the position. He's a more mobile quarterback. He can scramble out of the pocket a little bit better than some of the other quarterbacks. But I don't necessarily know if Malik Zaire fits into the to what, you know, Jim McElwain and offensive coordinator Doug Neusmeyer want to do with that offense. I think they'd rather have a quarterback in the pocket who get the ball downfield, you know, get those to those talented wide receivers, those talented running backs, and take advantage of those open spaces, you know, out there, rather than have a guy who's going to scramble around, you know, and try to, you know, run for 5, 8, 10 yards, whatever. So to me, I don't know long-term if this is a good fit. Short-term, yes. I mean, you're going to face Michigan in that opener. You know, maybe Zaire gives you a better chance than a guy like Felipe Franks, who has no collegiate experience whatsoever and be kind of thrown in the fire in that regard. But to me, I think the biggest question is, if Zaire struggles, how soon before McElwain and his staff decide to pull the plug and bring in Franks or Del Rio or whoever to kind of continue their offense? Because they can't sit back and let this offense struggle for a third straight year.
Despite the two-time defending SEC East titles, Georgia comes into this season the favorite in many minds. I believe they were the favorite at SEC Media Days. Nearly all prognostication has Georgia winning it, and a big reason for that is, one, they'll probably be the most experienced SEC team among the top teams. They've got a ton of talent come back, a ton of guys come back, including Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel. I mean, we're talking two guys, it seems like they've been there forever. Nick Chubb's been there since before my kid was born. My kid's 10. I'm kidding, but I mean, those guys have been there a long time. You have experience. You have two great running backs. You have so much talent returning on defense. You have Kirby Smart kind of developing already, you know, second year, but it's already kind of the team's taken on his image. They're our pick for the SEC East. I don't know if they're our individual pick, but as I'll ask you your pick later, but as a paper, they're the team that, newsflash, we're going to put winning the SEC East. What will it take for Georgia to be that team, though, that wins the SEC East? It looks good on paper, but what do they have to do, do you see them doing to come out on top?
They have to win games. I mean, they have to beat Florida. You know, I mean, that's going to be, to me, this team comes down to everything should gel right. They should connect well. I think that game in late October in Jacksonville, you know, if they can beat Florida, if they can, you know, solidify that position, I think then, you know, they win the East and they're going to be a factor. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that Kirby Smart in year two has got this program where it was. It wasn't like he took over a program that was in disarray and, you know, was, you know, needed to be completely overhauled and rebuilt. You know, I think Mark Richt did a pretty good job at Georgia, just didn't win enough of the big games that I think people wanted him to win. So Smart comes in and he kind of changes the philosophy a little bit, goes with that Nick Saban type of mentality, and he's recruited really well, and he's got some players in there. One of those recruits, Jacob Eason, who Richt did initially recruit, Smart was able to keep. You know, you get another talented quarterback in Jake Fromm. He comes in there to kind of provide a little bit of a boost at that position with some depth and experience. And as you mentioned, the two running backs. I mean, listen, if you get Nick Chubb alone just to stay, that's a pretty big coup. To get Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel to both come back and stay, to me, is a huge deal, because that gives you the deepest and most experienced running back position unit in the SEC right now. And I think that's going to help out Jacob Eason, because you don't want to, you know, put the onus of the offense on his shoulders. You don't want him to have to feel like he has to be the only one that carries this team. Defensively, as we mentioned, this team is loaded up, and I think that's going to be a huge help for them, especially considering the fact Kirby Smart knows what he's doing when it comes to defenses. So to me, that's why they're the favorite. Tennessee's going to be there as well. They're going to be a factor somewhat, but again, I'm just not sold on Butch Jones. I mean, if you ask me to mortgage, would I mortgage my house and put it all on Tennessee or the field, I would put it on the field, because I don't trust Tennessee at all.
And that's what I was going to ask you before we make our picks for the conference and finish up the preview. Tennessee Volunteers last year, they finally beat Florida. They beat Georgia in what was probably the game of the year, at least the last 5 minutes of the year. And then they lose three straight. One of those games was Alabama, but one of them was Texas A&M. One of them was South Carolina. They finish the year, they lose to Vanderbilt. This was the team that was supposed to finally get over that hump, and they got over the hump. They beat the Gators. They hadn't done it in, seemed like, decades for them. They had finally gotten over that hump, and then everything fell apart. How hot is that seat getting on Butch Jones? I know it's Tennessee. They expect a certain level of excellence there. And the last couple of years, this team has not been able to keep it together, not just for entire games, but throughout the season. They've had losses they shouldn't have. They've had blown leads. You lose to South Carolina and Vanderbilt in the same year, and you're supposed to win the SEC East. But Tennessee, they're still in this. I think they deserve to be in the discussion for the SEC East. But you have to wonder, when does it catch up if they have another year where they don't get over that hump? They go back, they lose to Florida again. They don't beat Georgia, and they lose another game or two they shouldn't. What are you seeing in Tennessee and the Volunteers going forward?
Well, I think Butch Jones' seat is hot. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's to the point. Maybe it's more adjacent than hot. Like, you know, I mean, like, because I just feel like, as you mentioned, there's a lot of talent on this team. One of the things Butch Jones has done an incredible job of doing over the last, since he's got really at Tennessee, was he recruits well, and he's built a foundation of bringing in talented players. But on the flip side of that, there's no reason why you should lose to South Carolina and Vanderbilt in the same way based on the talent that you have. I mean, so you have to win those big games. You know, you beat Florida, you beat Georgia. You have to win those big games, and you have to finish strong. And they weren't able to do that. And they did it with one of the most talented quarterbacks outside of Peyton Manning to ever really kind of come through the door at Tennessee, and Joshua Dobbs. So to not be able to get to that level to win the East, I think was a big, huge disappointment, a huge one. And I think this year, because they're not the favorite, I almost think that helps them, as you mentioned, because I don't think then you come in there with this so much of a target on your back. I think you could play the underdog role. I think you could play the disrespected role. I think that could help them out as well. But if Tennessee struggles and they lose to Florida again and they lose to Georgia and they finish third in the division, I think there are going to be some people who are going to say, listen, it's great and all, but maybe we need to find someone who can get us over that hump and get us in that elite, you know, that elite level. Especially when you consider now that the school now has a new athletic director in John Curry. He's a guy that's going to keep a close eye on Butch Jones. I don't say this team, I don't think Butch Jones will get fired at the end of the year if that doesn't happen. But I think definitely if they struggle and they finish third or fourth in the division, I think eventually they're going to start thinking about making a change.
All right, it's prediction time. That's why I put you on the spot. Ask you who's going to win the conference, who's going to win the division, and maybe even a team to watch that we haven't even talked about. But Who do you have winning the West and the East, at least?
Well, I got Alabama winning the West. I mean, I just don't see anyone.
Go on a limb there.
Yeah, that's right. You know, but again, I just don't see anybody who right now is that close of a factor with that program based on what Saban's been able to do in the past. The East, I've got Georgia winning the East. I mean, I think talent-wise, they're a little better team. I think if Florida had – if Florida could show me something offensively, if they could score some points – you know, if they could look, I mean, if Florida averaged 24 points a game, Brant, and with the defense they have, they would win the East easily. You know what I mean? But I just don't think they're at point. I don't think they feel that way right now. Give them another year with the recruiting class they're putting together right now. I think that next year could be a big year for them. But that's why I got the East. And if there was a team I'm looking at that can surprise, you know, honestly, I think South Carolina a little bit. I mean, you know, Will Muschamp, you know, they got a talented quarterback. You know, I think offensively, Kurt Roper's never done much to really, you know, earn the trust that he's gained from Will Muschamp. You know, he struggled at Florida, you know, struggled a little bit last year. But I think defensively, I think South Carolina's going to be – I'm not saying they're going to be to the point of, you know, competing in the East, but I think they're a team – that's going to be there as well. And then I think Mississippi State on the West, if you're looking for a team maybe on the West. I think Nick Fitzgerald is a talented quarterback. I think he's a name you're going to be hearing a lot of. Kind of fits in that mold of a Dak Prescott. I think their question mark is on defense. I just don't think they can stop anybody. And I think you're playing one of the toughest divisions in college football.
And I'm going to take Alabama too, but I'm going to add a caveat to it. I don't think one of these years it has to catch up, and these five-star talents aren't going to be able to just plug in. It's a tough start to the season for Alabama. I could see them losing to Florida State in the opener. I could see them slipping up a game in the SEC. But as the rest of the SEC eats itself up, Alabama still comes out on top. I think they're the SEC champs, but I don't know. I don't want to put them back where they've been every year. And they'll prove me wrong. They always do. One of these years, it's not going to happen. Maybe this is the year. The schedule starting off tough with Florida State certainly could affect that. And I'm going with the Florida Gators in the East. The schedule is not necessarily great for them. They do get Tennessee at home. They do get Georgia, you know, where they always play. They do go on the road for Missouri and South Carolina as far as SEC East, which are not that tough, but that's how they end their SEC schedule. But until someone can knock them off, if it was anybody but Georgia and Tennessee, I'd pick them. But they have failed to live up to expectations so many times. And Jim McElwain, say what you want about the offense being bland and not being able to develop it like he has. They've won two SEC East Division titles. They've been in the SEC title game the last 2 years, and nobody else can say that. So I'm going with the Gators, and I'm going with Alabama. Alabama wins the SEC again this year. They probably get into the playoff even with two losses, because that's just how the playoffs work for the SEC. And my team to watch, I'm going to go with Arkansas. And Austin Allen is a talented quarterback. They're not going to win the SEC, but they're going to win a game this year that they're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to lose a game that they shouldn't lose, and I can put karma on Twitter because that's fun to do. But I feel like last year was different because they fell apart at the end, but this is a team that builds as the season goes on traditionally, and they'll have a game in there. Well, they'll put a scare into an Auburn. They'll put a scare into an LSU. And so Arkansas, the team to watch in there. But I kind of pick Alabama to win it all, just like you did.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at things, I mean, it's amazing to think, you know, this is a program that year in and year out, as we talked about, I mean, there are people out there who keep saying, there's no way I'm picking Alabama, there's no way I'm picking Alabama. But it's tough. I mean, I think, though, that if a team's going to beat Alabama, it's going to be outside the SEC. I think if anyone's going to knock them out like they did last year, it's going to be a Clemson. It's going to be Florida State. It's going to be a Ohio State. It's going to be a team outside the SEC right now.
Put Alabama in the Big Ten East. Put them in the Pac-12 North or South. Are you putting them? They're one of the favorites, but I don't think they're as heavy favorite as they are in the SEC. I think that's a statement for where the SEC is right now.
Yeah.
Because if you put them in the Big Ten East with Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State, you'd say you could pick Alabama. No one would call you crazy, but you could also say, I mean, there's 2-3 losses possibly there for Alabama. You put them where they had to play USC and had to play Washington or any of those. We know what they did to Washington in the playoff. But if you had to each week in the Pac-12, they wouldn't be maybe as a sure thing as I feel that they are in the SEC. And I think not so much a statement against the SEC as much as it is the rise of powers in the Big Ten, the Pac-12. And even if you put them in the Atlantic and the ACC, I don't think you could say, oh, that's a slam dunk. If they had to play Clemson, Florida State, Louisville – I don't know. I don't know if Alabama's the team you pick in that. So I think a statement for how, as you said, the other conferences have teams that can play with Alabama and can beat Alabama. And it took an amazing game for Clemson to do it, but they did do it. Mm-hmm. And there'll be teams out there that'll be able to compete with them again. But I don't know if they're in the SEC East.
No, and that's, as we talked about, when we started this podcast, is just the idea of the SEC is kind of a little bit, you know, I think they're down as a conference overall because of that factor. I don't think there's anyone out there right now that outside of Alabama. But I think that the schools are trying, the programs are trying, you know, they're spending the money now, they're trying to renovate, they're trying to, you know, make those kind of moves, getting new facilities. Florida is even trying to, you know, spend more money now to build better facilities, recruit better, do what they have to do. I think everyone forgets that outside of Alabama and Auburn in the state of Alabama, that's really it when you're looking at, you know, recruiting in that state. You look at the state of Florida, you know, Jim McElwain's got to compete against Florida State, he's got to compete against UCF, USF, Miami, FAU now, FIU, so it becomes a little bit of a tougher road to get some of these kids that you normally would be a slam dunk to get. So I think, you know, eventually the tide will turn a little bit, no pun intended, and eventually someone's gonna take the reins of this conference.
The roll tide will turn. That's what Matt just said. And that's our SEC preview, the season getting closer and closer. We'll be previewing college football conferences throughout the month of August as we get closer to the start of the college football season. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, tell a friend. Share on social media. You've been listening to the College Gridiron 365 podcast, sponsored and brought to you by OrlandoSentinel.com.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.